according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After making the crossing to the other side of the sea, Jesus and his disciples came to land at Gennesaret and tied up there. As they were leaving the boat, people immediately recognized him. They scurried around the surrounding country and began to bring in the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Whatever villages or towns or countryside he entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we begin 2 weeks of study of the beginning of the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of the book of Genesis. It allows us, after having gone through the letter of the Hebrews, where we see the big picture and where the finality of everything lies, to be able to look back with a renewed vision as to why the things that preceded it are important. Well, you know where you're going, then you can contextualize the other. And so we're able to look at the book of Genesis through the lens of the letter to the Hebrews and how all of this was in view of Christ and what Christ himself would do. Today we see the beginning of creation, in which the main passage that I want to talk about is just how good it was. That God was constantly pronouncing good the work of his hands. And so it's without surprise that we have as the responsorial psalm, may the Lord be glad in his works, and allow our soul to bless the Lord's greatness, because he fixed the earth firmly upon its foundation. The oceans, the mountains, the springs, the watercourse, the birds, the branches. How manifold are his works, and in wisdom he wrought them all, because they were all geared first in terms of man, the summit of creation, precisely because, second, that man was to be incorporated into the divinity when the second person of the Blessed Trinity would take on our humanity. We'll have a chance to hear on Friday the breakdown of this, where we begin to squander our image and likeness. But not even that is the end, because again, it was all in light of Christ. And so we see a little bit of that breakdown in today's gospel reading, where we see the suffering, the physical illnesses, everything else that entered the world through original sin, and this triple disharmony between the human person and God, the human person and others, human person and himself and all of creation. There was this breakdown, but that wasn't the end of the story. You know, one of my favorite prayers of the Mass is the prayer we say on Christmas morning. We've pondered it before, but I think the mystics could ponder it forever and never exhaust it. Deus qui humani substantia mirabiliter condidisti et mirabilibus reformasti. Lord, you who wondrously created and even more wondrously, more marvelously, more stupendously redeemed. And then we pray through the mystery of this water and wine, we might come to share in the divinity of him who came to share our humanity. As good as creation was, the redemption was even greater. We begin to taste a little bit of that in this gospel. What Jesus was bringing to these people. He landed at Gennesaret. Gennesaret is at the very bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And he was moving from place to place, preaching. But no matter where he went, as soon as they got word, they were bringing the sick on mats. And they had already heard about the woman who crawled through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment, knowing that she would be cured, and then she was cured of her 12-year hemorrhage. So everyone else was saying, just let me get a touch, that's all that's needed. And they, like that woman, were being cured. How wondrously, even more wondrously, is that new creation, when God was bringing those diseased organs back to total health, again as a sign of what he was seeking to do in our soul, and the answer to that triple disharmony. Today, we celebrate the first of the Japanese martyrs, St. Paul Miki and companions. They were killed in 1597, the first wave of the so many who were killed between 1597, just a few decades after St. Francis Xavier arrived in 1639. We have the movie Silence that's out right now that shows, based on the historical accounts, the extraordinary courage of the Japanese and their faith under duress. For St. Paul Miki and his 15 companions, they had their ears clipped, just like we see in the movie Silence, so that they could slowly bleed to death. And then they were marched 600 miles to Nagasaki. 600 miles. It's three times the distance between here and Washington walking. 600 miles. And then when they were there, they were crucified. And it was while they were being crucified that they continued to testify to the faith, as we see in this morning's breviary lesson, that St. Paul Miki, the leader of the 16, is a native-born priest. He himself was giving witness to how he had interiorized the faith, forgiving the emperor, forgiving his executioners, and saying, if you're killing me because I'm a Christian, I am a Christian. To the very end, he was giving witness. How wondrous is this recreation that happened, taking the good of the natural order and how much goodness there was and remains in the Japanese, and raising it to something higher, and doing it in a way that would flip things right side up. The opening prayer of the Mass today, pray for God's strength of the saints, who through the cross was pleased to call the martyrs St. Paul, Miki, and companions to life. It was through this instrument of torture and death that Paul, Miki, and companions were given life to the full, as a sign how the Lord, even through our death, wishes to raise us forever. As beautiful as creation was, as much as we say, may the Lord be glad in his works, how much greater still is the recreation, and how much gladder the Lord must be. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we remember that the Lord, who has created us very good, wants to recreate us even better. We don't have to reach out and just touch the hem of his garment. He is going to come within us. Our approach to Holy Communion must be even greater than the people in the gospel. If the hem of Jesus' clothing had that much power, just imagine what happens with Holy Communion. Sometimes I think we Christians believe that two Advil have more power than Holy Communion. We know when we take two Advil that something's going to happen and the headache will be taken away. When we receive the medicine of immortality, the body and the blood given on that cross in order to restore us fully to life, we receive not only a gift of recreation, but the Creator and the Recreator. Not only may the Lord be glad in his works, may we share that joy. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.